Good morning, Sunrise. Glad to see all the fellowship going on. Hate to stop all that. If you would, get your Bible and turn to Psalm 63. Psalms 63, I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Shall we pray? Our dear loving Heavenly Father, I pray this morning with our brethren here at Sunrise as we worship you in song and prayer and in study of your word. We lift this up to you and hope that it is a sweet aroma to you and also uplifting to us as we continue our walk as aliens in this world in the ways of Jesus as he showed us when he lived here on earth. We look forward to the time when faith becomes sight, when every knee will bow before you. We pray that within our sphere of influence in our daily walk, that we can reach others and bring them along with us to Jesus so that they can come home with us. We thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed on us, and that we in turn use these blessings to help bring others to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Praise him, all ye people. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that his blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me, yes, his grace reaches me, and 'twill last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know that his grace reaches me. Higher than the mountain mountains and brighter than the sun. It was offered at Calvary for everyone. Greatest of treasures, and it's mine today, though my sins were as scarlet, he has washed them away. His grace reaches me, yes, his grace reaches me, and will last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know.
I'll be reading from 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Let's pray. We thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy, and all of your blessings. We thank you for always giving us what we need. And we thank you for giving us so much more than that, in sending your Son and freeing us from the slavery of sin. We ask that you continue to help us to meditate on these things, to give you the praise and the glory, to follow you all of our days, to be your soldiers, to be your servants, to be your messengers. We thank you for showing us the way. We pray that our worship this morning will be on you and only you, that our hearts and our minds will be clear of the things, the worries, the burdens of this world, that we will give you the praise that you are due, not just today, but every day. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
In thinking about this, trying to prepare for it, everything I've read and everything I thought kept coming back to the word gratitude. It's the state of being where we're just thankful for everything God's given us. I mean, it's a choice. You have to live in it. You have to choose to be grateful, to have gratitude for your life, for your children, your spouse, if you have one, for your job, for the abundance of food that we can have in America, for all the men and women that came before us to build where we are here today. All the restaurants and institutions and grocery stores and everything that we've got. It's just amazing things to be grateful for. And of all of those, the biggest one, and it tops all of them, is Jesus' sacrifice. There is nothing else bigger and better than that we could be grateful for. For God's love, for Him dying. I mean, so I'm going to take the verse before it, John 3:14. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And we have eternal life. We have eternal reasons to be grateful. So, let's pray. God, we can't thank You enough for sending Him to die in our place, to die for us so that we don't have to. We pray that we take this humbly in a manner pleasing to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back when we used to do it differently, saying the prayer after the, or for the blood, I always thought that was the hardest one because you've got the cracker in your mouth and it dries out your throat. And it's hard to actually get up there and speak with that. So let's pray. God, thank You. Thank you for the blood that was spilled on our behalf. Thank you for blessing us through that. Thank you for calling us home. We pray that we live our lives in gratitude of that sacrifice. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope that we give, everywhere that we give, whether it's time or money, give gratefully and give God the glory in all of that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us everything we have, for giving us a way to give back to you, to give to everyone around us, and to give you the honor and glory that you deserve. We pray that we do so humbly, knowing where our riches come from. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And on the first Sunday, we take up a collection for our missionaries. I guess in a way, showing them some gratitude for going out to do the job for us. We can support them. Let's pray. God, we thank you for choosing men and women to go into foreign lands to serve you, to serve on our behalf. We pray that you bless their work, that you allow them to spread the gospel, spread the good news, and win souls. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing this song.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice a prophet heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God.
He is alive.
He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, there is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God
Church, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we praise your name because we understand the magnitude and the beauty of the sacrifice that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Father, we give you our lives. We trust that your way is the only way. You've shown us this. You have shown us what life looks like in this world when done correctly. You have shown us that righteousness and holiness and love and mercy defeat darkness. Father, every day Every day we get up and we want to trust you. We want to serve you. We want to be like Jesus because Jesus is the most beautiful thing we have seen. And Father, we confess our lack. We confess the many ways and the many days that we miss the mark and fall short. Forgive us. And strengthen us to continue to try to walk in the steps of Jesus. We know, Father, that you are the solution for the ills of this world. We know, Father, that yours is the final word and that your song is victory. We know, Father, that there is no God but you. And we know, Father, that you have made your resurrected Son Lord above all names and above all earthly thrones. We give ourselves to you. And we pray today that as we study the Scriptures, that we will be encouraged another day to trust you, to have faith in you, to glorify you and exalt you. Blessed be your name. We offer this through Jesus. Amen. You know, we like to think of ourselves that we just don't need much in life, do we? Except everything. Except everything. We couldn't make ourselves exist, could we? Nope. Can't do that. The Lord provides our daily bread. God is the great physician that fixes our health, heals our souls. He provides gifts and abilities that allow us to work and to serve and provide for our families. And He has given us life. He's given us life. So basically everything that you and I have is a gift from God. Everything that you and I are blessed with, we have received. We have received. I know we tend to forget that, don't we? I mean, all the hours that we put in, and we work hard, we figure out problems that other people can't figure out, we fulfill a service and a purpose in our jobs that no one else could do as well as we do. We start to get that paycheck and tend to think, well, I earned this. I worked for this. I made this. We tend to forget that all that we have is a gift from God. Church, the reason why we have to be reminded about this is when we forget how much we need the Lord. When we forget how much He has done for us and continues to do for us, we start going down a dangerous, sinful, dark path. To say that we don't need God. I don't need God. I've got this figured out. I can handle this. And yet sometimes the Lord sends us a messenger, doesn't He? You ever been humbled? You ever been broken? Injured? Sick? Humiliated? Yeah. Sometimes the Lord sends us a messenger and says, hey, you're not as big as you think you are. You're not as strong as you think you are. You are definitely not as independent as you think you are. Jerry read for us this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, this woman who needs the Lord. I mean, she needs the Lord. And she goes to Elisha. And you can go back if you want to and read chapter 3. This is not a particularly faithful time in the history of Israel. Not a lot of people are doing it right. And this woman goes to the prophet because she knows that even though the king is not doing things right, God's prophet is doing things right. And she goes to Elisha and she says, I need your help. See, her husband, who was a servant of Elisha, has died. She's left alone with her boys. And before he died, he took out a loan. Probably tried to help the family. He took out that loan, he signed for it, and he put up his children as collateral. And he's gone. And he's gone, and she has no work, she has no job, she has no standing in her community without her husband. And she goes to the prophet and says, I need the Lord. What do you got? You got to help me. So Elisha says, okay, well, what do you have? She says, I got nothing in the house except for one little jar of oil. One little jar of oil. And Elisha says, okay, go to your house. And you call all your neighbors and you get every container you can get your hands on. You get every container you can get your hands on. Now, I want you just to put yourself in her shoes for just a second. I want you to think about every container in your house. And then I want you to think about every container that your neighbors could bring you from their house. I mean, we're talking gasoline cans, milk jugs, spittoons, whatever you got. Whatever container is in your house, and you're just going to bring it in, and you can't even walk through the place anymore. You can't even walk through the place. And she's got all of these containers, and he says, okay, now, you got all these containers. I want you to shut the doors behind you and your boys. I want you to stay in your house, and I want you to get to pouring. I want you to get to pouring. And she does. Now, she's got a tiny little jar of oil, and she has got containers all throughout her house. She pours, and she pours, and she pours. And as long as she's pouring, and as long as there's containers, God is filling up. God is filling up. And finally, she gets to the last container. It was probably Tupperware. The lid was probably missing. But she gets to that last container and she tops it off with that oil. And the jar is empty. It's done. Did its job. There's no more left. And she goes to Elisha and she says, I did it. They're all full. And Elisha says, go and sell it. Pay your debt so you can be free and then take all the rest of it. And you and your boys live on it. That's an amazing story, right? That's an amazing story to see God take care of someone that has no other recourse in life. In fact, you're probably a lot like me in which the less you had going for yourself, the more you saw God provide. Safe? Fair? It was when you were lowest that you saw the power of God. It's when you had less to your name and to your wallet that you saw God do things that you didn't think were possible. It is when we are in a vulnerable position in which we are open to God taking care of us. And I love how he does it. I love how he does it. The fact that she has got to pour that little jar and fill up, I mean, she could have had Lowe's paint buckets. She probably had some of those ceremonial water jars like Jesus used. Gallons. And just, just filling up a little bit at a time. That painstaking process of just sitting there filling up and filling up and filling up. And I love what Elisha does. Elisha, he gives her God's power, but you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't show up with a big check. He doesn't show up and say, hey, publisher's clearinghouse called. You're going to be okay. You're never going to have a worry again. Everything's taken care of. He says, all right, what do you got? What do you got? And she has one thing. She's got a little jar of oil. And Elisha says, God can work with that. God can use that and do great things. Well, okay, there's 12 lessons in and of itself right there of how God takes little things and he turns them into big things, that God works with things that are considered nothing and makes them into amazing, wonderful, big things. Elisha says, hey, take that little jar, you and your boys and all those containers, and you shut yourself up in the house. Is anybody, it's interesting because we're going to read it back in Deuteronomy chapter 24. We get a little insight of why the prophet tells her to shut the door. The prophet tells her to shut the door. He was making sure that she obeyed the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 10. I'll turn over there for a second because this is kind of interesting. Deuteronomy 24, 10. Look what it says. When you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not go into his house to collect his pledge. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you shall make, whom you make the loan shall bring the pledge out to you. So Elisha tells this woman, hey, as long as you and your boys stay in the house, you're safe. Stay in the house, because the minute they stepped outside, guess what? They lawfully belonged to whoever dad took the loan out with. This wasn't a loan shark. It's probably a neighbor. It was probably a neighbor, but that neighbor had a legal right to her children. Because the dad, in taking the loan, says, if I don't pay this off, you can have my kids to work it off. And that person that made the loan could have legally been standing outside just waiting for those boys to come outside and say, well, your dad's not here. You haven't paid, so they're mine until that debt is paid. And Elisha tells them, you stay in the house. You stay in the house because the next time those boys come outside, they're going to have all you need to be taken care of. See, Elisha followed the law. He worked within the law and he saved this family. And church, as we marvel at the glory of God, as we see him working in so many ways, Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. That according to God's law, if you sin, you deserve to die. If you sin, you deserve to die. But the free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Church, how can we have anything but hearts filled with gratitude? How can we have anything besides gratitude? And yet we do, don't we? We have entitlement. We are so used to being satisfied that we will gripe and complain at a moment's notice when things aren't up to our standards. We're cranky. We're negative. We're miserable. We're bitter. We're frowny. Yeah. Why is gratitude not flowing out of us? Those of us that know what God has done. Because just like everyone who is lost in the world, guess what? Without Christ, we are lost in the world. And that's the difference. The difference is not that you and I are wearing a nicer shirt today than we did yesterday. The difference is that we took our weekly shower this morning, got all scrubbed up and got everybody looking nice. The difference is not that you and I are spending our morning in among the Holy of Holies with all the righteous. The difference is you and I have put our faith in God's act of salvation for our sins. We have said, God, I know that what I have done has insulted you. I know that how I have lived is totally against you. It's an affront to you. And I give you that. I give you my life and my sin. And I trust you that what you have provided for me is going to take care of everything. That's the difference. That's the difference. Jesus tasted the pain of God's law for all of us. That's what Jesus did. The one that knew no sin became sin so that you and I could be given credit for his perfect life. He took credit for our sinful life all the way to the cross and gave us credit for his perfect life to stand before God. Not fair, is it? Remember when you were a kid and all you ever wanted was fair? Your brother or sister got a little bit more cookie or brownie than you did? That's not fair. And of course we grow up, we mature, and we compare ourselves with other people around us. Well, that's not fair. How do they get that? Your coworker got the raise that you deserve because you did more work on that project. That's not fair. Your neighbor had good things happen to them, even a sinful neighbor. And you're stuck praying over a sick family member. That's not fair. Your job is taken away because you're trying to do the faithful thing and not the popular thing. That's not fair. None of it's fair, is it? No. But just like we learned as kids, we don't really want fair. Because fair is getting what you deserve. And church, we have all sinned. And we all deserve death. We all deserve to live our lives apart from the presence of God. And none of us deserve to see his glorious face and spend any time with him. And yet God in his love provided the gift for us that allows us to escape fair and be blessed. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter had a great grasp on receiving mercy that he did not deserve. And so he writes to the church about what he knows. And that is the mercy of God. I'd like us to take it up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Because he's going to talk to us a little bit about what Jesus has done, and then he's going to provide a good response. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It is absolutely not fair. Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross. It is not fair. And Peter tells us what that looks like. He didn't deserve to be beaten. He didn't deserve to have lies spread about him. He didn't do anything to make any enemies. He's perfect. He didn't deserve to have his life taken from him. He didn't deserve any of that. And yet he did. And yet he did. And we are so amazed at how Jesus could endure such things, aren't we? And we ask ourselves, well, how? How does the one who has a connection to the creator of the universe, creator of all things, to have such power at your fingertips, the one who was saying, storm, stop. The one who says, broken, heal. The one who says, bread, for everybody. The one who says, dead, get up. All that power. And yet he didn't stop him. And what does Peter notice about his response to that death? How did he do it? How did he suffer in such a way for what wasn't fair, that he didn't deserve? He entrusted himself to God over and over and over and over. Lord, I'm just going to choose to trust you in this. You ever heard that saying that, I think the quote was from Mike Tyson. You remember Mike Tyson? He's still around. When I was a kid, Mike Tyson was a boxer. The baddest boxer there was. I mean, he was knocking people out left and right. And Mike Tyson once said, everybody has got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Right? It's just like all of us. And you don't have to be a boxer to appreciate that. You got up. You got up in the morning. You did your daily devotional. You're walking out that door and you're like, whoo, God, you are good. The sun is shining a little bit earlier than it shined yesterday. And today is going to be a good day. And I'm going to trust you in everything. And it's all going to be good. And I'm going to be faithful. And ooh, today is just good. I can feel it. I just know it. And we get out there and someone just says, poof. They say just that right thing. And it just goes right to that one spot in your heart. And you're just, people are horrible. They're all nasty. Seriously, why are we even doing this? Right? We all have a plan. We all plan every morning to get up and get out there and just be faithful, to be the light of God in this dark place. And it hits us right in the mouth. So what do we do? What did Jesus do? When they reviled him, what did he do? When they spread lies about him, what did he do? When they hit him in the mouth, when they beat him with straps of leather, when they shoved a crown of thorns on his head, when they nailed his hands to the wood, what did he do? He said, Father, I trust you. I trust you. because I know what you can do with so little and with such bad. I just got this little jar. And I'm looking at it, and it doesn't seem to hold that much. But I'm going to trust you with it. Church, Peter says to us that we, when we are suffering, even unjustly, even when we don't deserve it, need to respond like Jesus. Because when we do, and I want you to hear this. This isn't just me talking. Verse 19. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. This is how God's grace is seen in the world. When we are suffering or going through something that we don't even deserve, and we trust God through the entire thing. What if we trusted Him through the entire thing? What if we trusted Him every day, no matter how many times we get punched in the mouth? You ever tried to trust God, failed miserably, and then once He saw you through, you're like, thank you, Lord. I guess you did have this the whole time. Guess I should have trusted you. You ever been there? Yeah? Just kicking yourself? Boy, that was a miserable week, wasn't it? Yeah, should have trusted Him more. Look, He was taking care of everything. I didn't even know it, and I didn't even trust Him for it. Church, the world sees God's grace when they look at us and they say, How are you doing this? How are you not falling apart? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Jesus didn't fall apart when He was suffering for me. So I'm not going to fall apart when I'm suffering for, maybe it's you, maybe it's them, maybe it's my family, maybe it's my spouse that I'm suffering for, maybe it's my kids that I'm suffering for, maybe it's my coworker, maybe it's my neighbor, maybe it's my enemy. God loved the world so much that He said, I'm going to give you my grace. And if you're going to give grace, guess what? The personal cost is pain and suffering. That's the price. The price to be paid for grace is personal suffering. That's it. That's it. Huh. Our response to suffering, endure like Jesus. Endure like Jesus. Well, Michael, I'm pretty sure that suffering is not my spiritual gift. That may be somebody else's, but I don't think that's my spiritual gift. Oh, verse 21, for to this you have been called. You've been called to suffer filled with grace because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you could walk in His steps. I don't want to suffer gracefully. Might as well be saying, I don't want to be like Jesus. Next time you want to do the wrong thing, just say that one out loud. Make that the lead in your prayer. I don't want to be like Jesus. When you hear it out loud, whoo, you'll get on your knees quick. You will repent. When you actually say out loud the things that your actions are leading to, that'll lead you to repentance faster than anything else, won't it? Absolutely. Just say it out loud next time. Lord, I don't want to be like Jesus. Then tiptoe the rest of the day. Yeah. Huh. Christ has suffered for you, leaving you an example. Turn over to chapter 3. Peter continues. Peter continues, chapter 3, verse 13. Now look, it shouldn't be that way. And he says in verse 13, who's going to hurt you if you're zealous for what is good? Like if you live a good, clean life and you're nice to people and you're polite and you go out of your way just to hold the door open for other people and you try to be a good neighbor and you try to do what is good for everybody. Everything's going to be perfect, right? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Well, I would think that if I'm going to live a righteous life, what's with all this suffering? What's with all this suffering? Why can't I just be good and it all work out? Why can't I just be good and everything be easy? Why can't I just be good and it all just be smooth? Why can't I just be good and not have any worries, not have any fears, not have any problems? You guys know what your life looks like when you run out of problems, right? It's not very faithful, is it? No! We got everything taken care of. Everything's smooth. Everything's easy. What goes out the window first? The Lord. The Lord. Yeah. But look, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, and don't be troubled. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
God decides that I need to suffer? What kind of God takes the people who are trying to be His and say, I'm going to bring a little pain to your life? What is He doing? He has no clue what's going on, does He? Does that make anybody uncomfortable to hear me say these words out loud? Good. Because when we suffer and we question the will of God, guess what we sound like? What I just said out loud. What kind of God are you? What are you doing up there? I'm one of yours. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have to deal with these issues. I shouldn't have to deal with these problems. I should not be mistreated at the hands of godless heathens. I deserve better.
What did God do to the one that truly deserved better? He let him suffer. Why? Because it is through his suffering that brings healing to all of us. Now, good news, church, you don't have to die on the cross for the sins of all creation. His was extreme because it covered a lot. But when you and I suffer, and instead of moaning and complaining and crying and doubting and questioning it all, when you and I entrust ourselves to God, guess what? God knows what He's doing better than I do. God knows what all this suffering is going to turn into better than I do. He can see it all. I can't. I can see the suffering right in front of my face. He can see next Thursday when someone in my office looks at my life and says, "Wow! How did you do that?" I did it by the grace of God. I got to tell you about this. Yeah, it was awful. It was horrible. It was painful. And we were nervous. We were scared. But God, true to His promise, saw us through. And here I am on the other side of it. God is good. I wish you knew that. I wish you knew that, so the next time you go through that problem, you can just trust God for it. Isn't it amazing how much work God can do through our suffering? Our response to suffering
We endure. We endure. And what does our endurance say? I trust God. Look, if you're drawing breath to complain, then you're strong enough to give glory to God. Fair? True? Absolutely. Absolutely. If we're using our instrument of praise for complaint, then we've got the energy to praise. And we've got the energy to praise. Help me out. Did I stop at 17? Anybody got their Bible open? Did your phone go dark because I talked for a little bit? Was it verse 17? Is that where I quit? All right, thank you. Thank you. Verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this now, saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. All right. Jesus died in the flesh, and he was restored to his rightful place. So how do we face each and every day? I no longer live. Christ lives in me. I am done with the flesh, because all it is sin and death. So now, since my life is no longer about me, I'm going to live each and every day for the will of God. What does he want from my life? What does he desire to see in me? How do I bring him glory? Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. So the next time we are tempted to look at our situation, our circumstances, our problems, our pains, our sufferings, our weakness, our temptations, the next time we look at those things in our life and say, why? Why does God work like this? Why is God making me go through this? Why do I have to endure this? It is a gracious thing. That is how God brings grace to us. He pays the price himself. Church, when we realize who we are in Jesus Christ, then we will be willing to pay the price ourselves for grace. That's what we are called to do. Pay the price of grace. Because grace is not cheap. Somebody has to pay. Somebody has to pay. God paid to bring grace to us, to save us from ourselves and from death and from hell away from him. And God, leaving you here, walking in the light, being in his eternal kingdom, has got to show his grace to the people in your life. How do we see the grace of God? Well, we see it through the suffering of Christ, do we not? How do they see the grace of God? It's not the day after you win the lottery. It's not when everything's going smooth. How do they see that God's power is filling up and filling up and filling up and filling up more containers than you think you can handle? It's
It's through suffering and pain. It's through problems. It's through uncomfortable points in ourselves, which prove that God is real, that God is alive, that God loves us, that God cares for us, that we would actually look at Him and say, I trust you. You've got this. So I'm going to praise your name. So I'm going to live and walk by faith in the grace that you have given me. I'm going to take on your baptism, not because I can't shower myself, but Father, I have made the confession to you. I confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is your only Son, that you are, that you sent Him for me. And I know I need Him because I've seen me. And so I take His death for my sins. And I give you my life. And having given you my life, you do with it what you need to. And He does. Because that's how His grace is seen. If you need to respond, do so. Let's stand together and sing.
Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died, rose again.
It's great to see everybody here this morning. Have a few announcements and a few people we need to keep in our prayers. We need to remember Patty Stone. She's not with us this morning. She has a case of the shingles, so we need to pray that she gets quick healing and relief from that. The McCoys, Charlie and Chester are out sick. Chester, I guess, has flu-like symptoms, and Charlie has the stomach flu that's going around. I know that's gone through a lot of people, and so just pray that that ends quickly. The Sanders are traveling, so we need to pray protection for them. Also, it was mentioned Wednesday night. I was not here, but it's worth saying again. Anastasia received word that she gets a full ride to college, wherever. So, I know it would be very easy to just ask, oh, how, why did that happen? You know, there's a reasonable explanation for it, but it's, you know, it's God providing is the best way to look at that. So, I guess another thing, Steve mentioned that hopefully this week the kitchen and the floors and everything will be completed, so that that will all be back to normal here very soon, which is exciting. So, is there anything else that we need to mention? Anything that I missed? All right. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I just thank you for today and this time we have together. Thank you for just providing for us and watching over us. And I pray, Lord, that no matter what we go through, that we would just continue to show just your love and your light to the people that are around us. And I pray that we would just, whatever sufferings and difficulties that we go through, I pray that we would just remember that it's just making us more like you and more like Christ. I pray that we would just look at it for what it truly is and just give you the praise through it all. Lord, I pray for Patty. Just please heal her quickly. Just be with the McCoys and just give them relief and comfort and just healing from their illness. Watch over the Sanders as they are traveling. I pray that you bring them back home safely. And just everyone else that's out on the road right now, just watch over them and protect them. And I just want to join in just praising you with the Elims, just for Anastasia's news. Thank you for that and that provision for their family. And I pray that you just lead her and guide her to the college that she's supposed to attend. Just be with us all today. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.